finish with our closing, Carl, I want to say just a few words, and I want to just tie it around the fact that the Christmas story is full of the ordinary and the extraordinary. And I don't know, hopefully there might be a little picture will come up to that effect. But if you think about it, the Christmas story is full of some very ordinary things that we can maybe identify with. For example, a behind closed doors conversation between a husband, Joseph, and his wife, Mary. The trudging journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Shepherds out in the fields at night looking after the sheep. A busy time of the year. No room. All the sleeping and staying establishments are booked up. A little baby presented on the eighth day, as was traditional. Political problems and a family having to flee from that region in the Middle East looking for safety. Very ordinary things. But in the midst of all of that, we also have some extraordinary things. Angels begin to appear to all sorts of different people. A young girl called Mary, who is still a virgin, becomes pregnant. Wise men from the far east are led to follow a star in the sky. And most extraordinary of all, God becomes a little baby. The creature gives birth to the Creator. The eternal Son of God leaves heaven and is born into an obscure little place called Bethlehem in the Middle East. In the words of the hymn writer Charles Wesley, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Ordinary and extraordinary. And Christianity is full of ordinary and extraordinary. Sometimes people try to emphasize one over the other, and when that happens, you get things out of kilter, out of balance. For example, sometimes people might speak of a version of Christianity that is very religious, very pious, very super spiritual, but it's not earthed in the ordinary, mundane, daily life that we all experience. And then sometimes people go to the other extreme and they maybe try to present a version of Christianity that is so mundane and so ordinary and dull that it has no place, like at Bethlehem, for the extraordinary, life-changing presence and power of the Son of God. When you think about it, at the heart of the Christmas story is the truth that the Son of God became a son of man. The extraordinary became ordinary, that the ordinary might be made extraordinary. Or as someone famously put it once, the Son of God became the Son of Man in order that the sons of men might become the sons of God. And as I think about this theme tonight, just before I finish, there are two things I want to draw to your attention. There are two groups of people that I think of when I think of the extraordinary. I'm sure there are very few of the first group here tonight. You're wondering, who are these groups of people? Well, there are those today who want to take out any talk of the extraordinary. The advocates in our nation and in these islands of a so-called new atheism Much of life can be ordinary. I'm sure you would agree with that. But Christianity challenges us to open our lives to the extraordinary. And that is what is so sad about what is actually happening in front of us across these islands, that there are those who are going out of their way to undermine any talk about God, any talk about the gospel. And it is like simply taking the extraordinary out of life. I can't help but think of that lovely story in the gospel where Jesus turned the water into wine. And I just want to say to you this evening, folks, that there are cynics today across these islands who would love nothing better than to turn the wine back into water. And all I can say to you is, beware. There are those who want to take out of society any talk of God, of Jesus, and the extraordinary. I think life's tough enough without going down that road. But more to the point, here is the second group of people. There are those who need to let in the extraordinary. And I suppose this brings me to the very heart of what I, as a Christian pastor, seek to say week in and week out. That there is a very real sense at the heart of the Christian message that we need to allow the extraordinary to come into our hearts and into our lives. That's what saving faith is all about. That's what faith is about. It's about recognizing your need of a Savior and realizing that Christ's death and resurrection is literally the door through which we go to eternal life. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I wonder if you listen carefully, and thank you again to each and every person who read tonight. The last reading that Ozzy brought had these words. It says about Jesus, he was in the world, and though the world did not recognize him, the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I have shown this picture before, but I deliberately show it again. It is a famous picture painted by Holman Hunt. And it's called The Light of the World. And it is a very emotive picture of Jesus standing as the light of the world at a door and knocking on that door. And it is a picture that picks up on a picture from the Bible. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And folks, I want you to understand as I finish this short little talk tonight, that it is my understanding at the very heart of the Christian message. Take away all the other religious stuff, and there's plenty of it in this country. Take away all of that other stuff, and this is what you've got. You've got Jesus, the light of the world, standing at the door of our lives and waiting by God's grace for us to open up our lives to receive him in. You see, head knowledge is not enough. A weekly ascent on a Saturday evening or a Monday morning is not enough. We need to open up our hearts and our lives to Jesus. The choir sang, "Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever." And Lord, and I just want to ask you tonight, folks, do you see that? Do you understand that? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. As I finish, I say this. Some of you may know this older hymn. It has these lines in it. Room for Jesus, King of glory, hasten now, his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. So folks, if you remember nothing else of what I've said tonight, maybe you'll remember that picture on the screen tonight and ask yourself a question. You're maybe quite religious. You maybe try your best. But that's not really the point tonight. Those things aren't actually the point at all. Have you ever opened the door of your life to Jesus Christ and said, Lord Jesus Christ, I need you. I've got many problems. I'm a sinful person. But thank you, Lord, that you died on the cross for me. And I ask you now to come into my heart, to save me from my sins, to forgive me for all my sins, and to give me a fresh start and a new life. And folks, if you do that sincerely and truly, then the wonderful good news is that Jesus said, behold, he that cometh unto me, I will never cast out. So I want you to think about that tonight. If you're not sure about anything that I've said, feel free to ask me afterwards, what was that you were meaning? Or come and talk to me at some other